I was thinking this week about Easter and looking at some of the candy in the stores, and I was thinking about those Easter bunnies that we get, you know, those big ones in the package, they're all wrapped up, big chocolate, big fat ones, and you look at those and go, wow, right? There's a lot of chocolate in that bunny. You ever had one of those? Yeah? And then you bite off the ear, and what do you discover? It's hollow, right? It's like, man, I paid for that bunny. I thought it was a big, solid chunk of chocolate. And it's kind of disappointing, isn't it, to find that hollow bunny inside. The writer of Ecclesiastes, he says, real life, it's kind of like that. Sometimes it feels hollow. Sometimes we're disillusioned. Sometimes we're disappointed. In life, we come up empty. We feel like somehow it's futile, somehow it's hollow. You know, so many of the things that we chase after, that we pursue in life, end up being kind of a big disappointment. In fact, the theme phrase for the author, he writes in the second verse of this book in Ecclesiastes, he says this, everything is meaningless, completely meaningless. Wow, right? That's a big bummer. He says it's pretty pessimistic. It's kind of extreme. He says life is totally meaningless. Now, I think that it's not really all that bad. In fact, the author probably, who is probably King Solomon here, he wants at least to challenge some of our assumptions about life. And when we read this book, you will find out that, you know, he does a really good job of kind of shaking us up in our views about what life is all about. So as we read this book of Ecclesiastes, be ready to get shaken a little bit. Be ready to get challenged. I encourage you to read it. It's only 9 chapters, short little book about the middle of the Bible. Pick it up and read it. It's awesome. So the phrase, everything is meaningless, is actually kind of an interpretation of this Hebrew word, hevel. He says, everything is hevel. Say that with me, if you would. It should be up here on the screen. Say that. Hevel, hevel, everything is hevel. And so one way to describe this is, you know, if you're standing outside on a cold day and you see your breath, it's kind of like, you know, that breath goes out and then it dissolves away. That's kind of the meaning of hevel. And so when we look at that, the wise teacher in this book, he describes this fog or this mist as kind of what life is about. So life is uncontrollable and mysterious. You know, it's beautiful. Many aspects of life are amazing, but confusing, right? Often disorienting. It's kind of like a dense fog. And what we expect, what we search for, what we strive for, just seems to be this elusive mystery. Have you ever experienced that? You ever end up with more questions than answers? You know, you ever ask why? You know, why am I trying to accomplish this? What's the point of all this? You know, Solomon says life is hevel. Say that again with me. Everything is hevel. But is it hevel? Is it all fog? Or is there a deeper meaning in life? So at the end of the book, Solomon, he makes this final conclusion. He says, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. So we're going to find out why he comes to this conclusion. So, do you have some questions about life? I'm sure you do, right? If we're honest, everybody has questions about life. We all do. And as we follow this book of Ecclesiastes, we get challenged to look for the right place for the answers. In fact, it may surprise you as we go on. And I'm warning you that this book takes a negative tone. Sometimes, you know, I end up preaching through this poet's book and it all seems kind of negative, and I don't really like that. But, you know, as we come through this, as we work through this, we actually come to some amazing conclusions. At some point, we have to come to terms with life's mysteries. You know, we're not going to know all the answers and we're not going to understand everything. So the book of Ecclesiastes, it presents a very honest approach to life. There's no sugarcoating, cheer us up verses here. There's no colored glasses to look through in these passages. Neither is it teaching, it's not trying to crush our hopes. He's redirecting us to the only one who ultimately can fulfill those hopes, which means there comes a point when our next step requires us to simply trust God, which means that our next steps need to be steps of faith. The Apostle Paul, he reminds us why this is, as he writes in his letter to the Romans. He says, "Oh, how great are God's riches and wisdom and knowledge. How impossible," let me say that again, "how impossible it is for us to understand his decisions and his ways." So here we are, this side of heaven, trying to figure it all out. And this is where we search for the meaning of life. This is where we occupy ourselves with meaningful pursuits. But do they really matter? Do they matter in light of the seemingly random outcomes of life and the finality of it all when we look at death? Now, this world here is the lab that Solomon, he researches his book. And I'm going to highlight a few of his findings. Is it all Hevel? Is it just a foggy mystery? Well, let's look at the first area he reflects on, and that is the area of work in our lives. You know, that's an area where we certainly try to find meaning. You know, I was told once that if I enjoy 70% of what I do in my job, then I should count myself very fortunate. He says few people find themselves enjoying that much of their work. You know, it's easy for us to talk about the 30%, right? All the things that we don't like about our jobs and about our work, about our careers. But what do you enjoy in your work? You know, what is it that you enjoy? I invite you to turn to someone next to you and think about this for a moment. What is it you enjoy in work or school? What do you enjoy? One thing in your day, in your work. Turn to somebody and tell them, what do you enjoy? And the end of the day doesn't count, so. We search, don't we? We search for jobs that do more than provide for us. We desire careers and employment that give us a sense of satisfaction, you know, a sense of purpose. We want to know that we're making a difference day in, day out in our lives. You know, are you making an impact in your job? Are you making a difference in the world around you? Or as a teacher asks in this book, what are you getting for your hard work this side of heaven? What do people get for all their hard work under the sun? Solomon asks. Well, we do a lot of searching, and we try to apply ourselves to our work that both provides and is meaningful. And sometimes, you know, we are grateful for our jobs, and when we're into it for a while, we then begin to wonder, you know, what's the point? You know, when we go through our day and we're getting up early and trudging the kids off to daycare or school and getting off to work and, you know, doing your thing all day long, and you come home at the end of the day and get the kids back and get the meal together and get everybody to bed, and it's time for bed yourself. You're exhausted, you're worn out, and you wonder, what was it all for? What was the point? Do you really accomplish anything of lasting value? What do you gain? Is it worth it? Is there any meaning in it? Well, let's see what the teacher concludes this side of heaven. So what do people get in this life for all their hard work and anxiety? Their days of labor are filled with pain and grief. Even at night, their minds cannot rest. It is all meaningless. Hevel, fog and mystery. Or can we find more meaning? Well, this side of heaven, the teacher says, yes, there is meaning, there is purpose in our work. He says, so I saw that there is nothing better for people than to be happy in their work. That is why we are here. You know, there's a blessing in simply having something for our hands to do, in taking joy in the 70% that we have to enjoy. as much as we can. It's a provision for life. It's a gift from God, this side of heaven. I keep making that phrase because for you and I, as believers in Jesus, for those who trust in something more, that we do have a glimpse through the fog. We've been given a look beyond this side of heaven, through the cross and through Christ's resurrection. And that glimpse transforms our work into an assignment from God. That everything we do has a purpose. There is meaning. Even if it seems like an empty job now, through faith we can see an opportunity that God gives us to have impact in our world for good and for God's glory, even when it may be beyond our sight. And whatever you do, the apostle says, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So Solomon, he points us to faith in God as the only sound basis for this living that includes using our gifts and abilities in the time that God has given us. So that's work. The next area Solomon has his readers reflect on is pleasure and money, one of those areas that we seek meaning in life. He says, I said to myself, come on, let's try pleasure. Let's look for the good things in life. But I found that this too was meaningless. So I said, laughter is silly. What good does it do to seek pleasure? Everything is hevel. But is it hevel? Is it all fog? Or can we find deeper meaning? Now, Solomon mentions some of those pleasures as he's talking through this. And one of those was building a home and a huge palace. You know, Solomon was a wealthy man. He had at his fingertips anything he wanted. So in this pursuit of pleasure, he could do all these things. And he decided he's going to build this great palace. You know, we're kind of obsessed, aren't we, with our homes. You know, we look at the shows that we find on TV, Property Brothers, Fixer Upper, Love It or Leave It. Do you ever watch any of those? You know, that's only a few. There's Flip or Flop, House Hunters, Extreme Makeover, Home Edition, House Hunters International, there's Rehab Addict. You know, have you watched some of those shows? Have you? And dreamed about, ooh, what could be, right? Ooh, I think I want to do that. You know, all these phrases like open concept floor plans and, you know, just the right view, just the right location, all those things that we're obsessed with. You know, we're even obsessing now with downsizing our houses and getting these little tiny houses and being really happy and proud of that. Look at that, I can live in a box. Ah, pretty happy. Or maybe it's money. Maybe that pursuit is the meaning that we're pursuing in life. You know, have you ever heard it said, whoever dies with the most toys wins? Wins what? You know, how do you finish that statement? Solomon, he searched all the pleasures he could find. And here is his conclusion. Those who love money will never have enough. How meaningless to think that wealth brings true happiness. He continues on, but as I looked at everything I had worked so hard to accomplish, it was all so meaningless, like the chasing of the wind. There was nothing really worthwhile anywhere. You know, I will say that he does say that being wise with money is better than being wise without money. You know, money helps take care of our needs, right? It helps take care of others. So that in itself is all right. But what does accumulating things gain us? Whether it's pleasure or toys, you know, there's this simple truth that remains. And Solomon, he lays it out clearly. It hasn't changed even today, all these years later. We all come to the end of our lives as naked and empty-handed as the day we were born. Those who accumulate the most toys still leave this life without them. All the hard work is for nothing, like working for the wind. Read this one with me again. Hevel. Is it up there? Am I lost my notes? Hevel, fog and mystery. Or is there deeper meaning in life? You know, this side of the heaven, the teacher says, yes, there is some good in this. So what do we find? It is a good thing to receive wealth from God and the good health to enjoy it. To enjoy your work and accept your life your lot in life, this is indeed a gift from God. But it's for an interesting reason. He continues on, God keeps such people so busy enjoying life that they take no time to brood over the past, take no time to think about those deeper mysteries of life. Here's a better way of saying it. He writes, enjoy what you have rather than desiring what you don't have. Just dreaming about nice things is meaningless, like chasing the wind. You know, we can enjoy good things this side of heaven, but you and I have something even more profound than this, because we have a glimpse, again, through the fog. We have a look beyond this side of heaven, through the cross and the resurrection, and that glimpse transforms this brief existence we have on earth into real happiness that transcends our short time. It extends our meaning and purpose, our joy, beyond the time we have right here. And we're truly looking forward to a reward in heaven and a resurrection life to enjoy it. Not so Hevel after all. So the next area Solomon, he sought out for meaning is wisdom and knowledge. There was a young paratrooper. He was learning to jump, and he was given the following instructions. First, jump when you're told. Second, count to 10 and pull the ripcord. Third, in the unlikely event that it doesn't open, pull the second chute open. And fourth, when you get down, a truck will take you back to where we started. The plane ascended up to the proper height. The men started peeling out. And as the young paratrooper jumped when told, he counted to 10 and pulled the ripcord, but the chute failed to open. So he proceeded to his backup plan. The second chute failed to open. Oh boy, he said, when I get down, I suppose the truck won't be there either. You know, in this life, we invest a lot of time in learning. You know, we stress getting a good education. You know, ask our students about that, about education, how it's stressed in our schools. Is it stressed? Is education stressed in school? Certainly, right? I know some of you are stressed about stressing education. So we learn that education is hard work. It takes a lot of concentration. It takes a lot of effort, but it's important, isn't it? But like other things in life, we can assign too much meaning, you know, if we're not careful. You know, right now we have a country that has more college debt than ever before. Huge load burdens to learn for education. Is it worth it? You know, human wisdom does not have all the answers. Knowledge and education have their limits. Good, yes, but they have their limits. Wisdom by itself is still chasing after the wind. Solomon says, everything is wearisome beyond description. No matter how much we see, we are never satisfied. No matter how much we hear, we're not content. You know, there's no end to searching. There's no end to knowledge. Not one of us are going to know everything there is to know on this earth. Unless you maybe you know somebody who thinks they know everything, but really they don't, right? There's no end to the searching. Everything is Hevel. But is it? Is it all fog, or is there deeper meaning? Solomon says yes, with qualification, this side of heaven. He finds this, for the wise can see where they're going, but fools walk in the dark. Yet I saw that the wise and the foolish share the same fate. So wisdom does help us navigate life. It's still better than being a fool. You know, the teacher warns that too much learning, however, just wears us out. So there's a balance, and we need to find it. But you and I have something even more profound. We have something more than this side of heaven. You know, we have that glimpse through the fog. We have seen where the mist is pushed back by the cross and the resurrection, and that glimpse gives us wisdom beyond what we have. So when we see through the fog, we glimpse what's in store beyond this life. In John's gospel, he writes, these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you may have life. And have life to the full. Life in the power of his name. So the gospel moves us to meaning, from Hevel to hope. So we take two views now of life. You know, one that faces reality this side of heaven. You know, it's a short view. The one that the teacher points to And it seems like this mist or fog. The other view is a long view, beyond this mist, the view through the resurrection lens and the life to come. In the short term, we have to come to terms with life's randomness, with life's mysteries. It just sometimes doesn't make sense. He writes, Solomon writes, I observed something else under the sun. The fastest runner doesn't always win the race. The strongest warrior doesn't always win the battle. The wise sometimes go hungry, and the skillful are not necessarily wealthy. And those who are educated don't always lead successful lives. It is all decided by chance, by being in the right place at the right time. People can never predict when hard times might come. Like fish in a net or birds in a trap, people are caught by sudden tragedy. It's true, isn't it? No matter what we do, bad things happen to good people. It's part of life. And it's really hard to explain through a theological lens where we know that God loves us, we know that God is good. Then why? Why? But the practical application is that life hurts, and life's answers are sometimes too impossible to know this side of heaven. And again, the teacher makes this clear when he says, I realize that no one can discover everything God is doing under the sun. Not even the wisest person discover everything, no matter what they claim. So what do? Well, we live lives grateful for what God has given us, what we can enjoy in the midst of the mist and the fog. We learn to accept life on life's terms. You know, the teacher writes, accept the way God does things, for who can straighten what he has made crooked? Enjoy prosperity while you can, but when hard times strike, realize that both come from God. Remember that nothing is certain in this life. So we enjoy the friendships that we have. We cherish them. God's given them as a gift. We enjoy the family that we have. They're precious for the time we have them. We enjoy a good meal at the end of the day because it's a blessing from God. We enjoy a sunny day and enjoy the warmth of spring. Hevel, fog, mystery. The teacher writes, it seems so tragic that everyone under the sun suffers the same fate. That is why people are not more careful to be good. Instead, they choose their own mad course, for they have no hope. There is nothing ahead but death anyway. There is hope only for the living. As they say, it's better to be a live dog than a dead lion. I like that phrase. You know, dogs in those days were not thought of as they are today. They weren't really considered pets and household parts of the family. They were considered kind of not such a good animal. But he says it's better to be a live dog than a dead lion. The living at least know they will die, but the dead know nothing. They have no further reward, nor are they remembered. Whatever they did in their lifetime, loving, hating, envying, it's all gone. They no longer play a part in anything here on earth. And that is a sad commentary on life. But you and I, we have something far more than this. We have the glimpse through the fog. We have a look beyond the mist of this side of heaven. You know, we have heard the good news and the power of the cross, and we hold on to the hope of the resurrection. And that glimpse transforms even death, this side of heaven, to an unfolding reality where we are now new creations in Christ. The old has gone, the new has come. We no longer view ourselves and others from this side of heaven. We know we are redeemed from the grave. We know we are remembered. We know God will remember us by faith. We know our actions find purpose in the redeeming work of God. Even the things we don't understand. We know Hevel will dissolve one day, and we'll see with clear eyes God's good purpose as he restores all things. And we will hear his words of welcome. Well done, good and faithful servants. And in light of that day, in light of that heaven clearing, that fog going away, we can hold on to this teacher's final conclusion. It's one that reveals lasting meaning to life this side of heaven. That's the whole story, he says. And here now is my final conclusion. Fear God and obey his commandments, for this is everyone's duty. God will judge us for everything we do, including every secret thing, whether good or bad. And in the power of the cross, we have hope for a resurrection life. Let us pray. God, we find ourselves pursuing all kinds of things in life, meaning for good purpose. And yet, Lord, we keep running up in life against barriers and obstacles and things unseen that seem to throw everything into disarray. And then, Lord, death comes, unexpected, unwelcomed, and seems to put an end to all we pursue. And yet, Lord, you love us. You know our circumstance. And Lord, you have a plan for our lives. Lord, that what we see is only a mist and a vapor. Beyond it is something eternal. Beyond it, Lord, is life in your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to enjoy this life as you give it, as a gift, in good times and in our struggles. And then, Lord, help us to take the long view. Lord, help us to see beyond the uncertainties of this life and to place our hope and trust in you and the life to come. In Jesus' name, amen.